welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
What do you guys think about when you think about faith? You don't have to answer out loud. It's more rhetorical. I just want to prime the pump for your hearts and for your minds this morning. You know, a lot of times when we think about faith, we'll think about it in the terms of like taking a blind leap of faith, in a sense. In fact, sometimes people will describe faith or people of faith as having blind faith. And what that is blind faith is an opinion that is held in good faith. It's an opinion that is held in good faith. Now, that doesn't sound like the faith that you have, does it? It doesn't sound like the faith that I have, certainly, but a lot of times that's the perspective of that type of faith. Blind faith is just an opinion that is held in good faith. It's the faith that you and I have in our GPS. It's a blind faith that we have, right? Siri, Alexa, you know, whatever voice you choose on your GPS app, that they're going to get you where you need to go. Yesterday, I took my wife and my kids. We went to Denver. We went down to the Museum of Nature and Science. It was pretty awesome. And this is the second time I've been there. The first time I went on a bus with my kids' class, and so I really didn't have to pay attention. This time I was at least somewhat aware of my surroundings, but let's be honest, you know what I did? I followed the blue line, right? I opened it up, I followed the blue line, and here's something interesting that I found yesterday. Did you know that the museum is right next to the zoo? Right? Some of you knew that because you pay attention to your surroundings. I've been to the zoo. I didn't know the museum was even right next door until yesterday. And when I went, you know, I just flipped on the GPS. I went down there. We went. We had a great time. But we've all heard stories like the two I'm going to share with you this morning of GPS that didn't work out very well. And both of these stories come from 2011, so probably not a good year for the GPS systems. But in 2011, there was a father with his wife and two kids, and he was driving in South Brunswick, New Jersey, and he was coming up to a T intersection. Everybody remember what those look like? They look like the letter T, and the only options are left and right. Well, his GPS suggested that he keep going, and so he followed in good faith his GPS. He went through the stop sign that was clearly present. He went over the curb, which I can't imagine he was not aware of. And he continued on for another 100 feet until he smashed into the side of somebody's house, and probably had to hear about that from his wife for the rest of his life, I'm sure. And also in 2011, there was an incident of some women who were visiting Bellevue, Washington, that they were out late at night and they couldn't figure out how to get back to their hotel. So they put the recalculate or reroute on their GPS, assuming it was going to lead them back to the highway. They ended up not on a highway, but driving down a boat launch and then continued off the end of it. They escaped there. It's okay. It's not, this isn't a morbid type of illustration here. They escaped, but their SUV sunk to the bottom of the lake because in good faith, they were following what was supposed to guide them to where they needed to be. And sometimes we think about faith as a journey in following Jesus, sometimes in that term, in those terms, and people will sometimes qualify them in that way. But the word that is used in the New Testament for faith, the word that is used over and over again to talk about the way you and I are supposed to orient ourselves to the Lord and how we're supposed to live our lives out, isn't an opinion held in good faith. The word actually means to have a deep conviction based on hearing and understanding. That there's something substantive to it. It's not whimsical. It's not flippant. But that there's something concrete to it. And the word is most often used in reference to the idea of trust or having an assurance or having a firm content of belief, that there is something more to it than just a wishful, fanciful type of thinking, but that there's a basis to it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes in his letter to the church in Corinth, really the way that you and I are supposed to characterize the lives that we live, and many of you would be familiar with this verse already, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul pens these words. He says, "For we live by faith. Say it with me, the faith. Oh, you got to watch the fingers. There you go. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. Now many of us have heard that. Many of us could maybe quote that. Maybe we've had an understanding there. But we're going to dig into what that looks like and how to actually do that. We're going to answer some questions this morning as to how do I actually live a life of faith? How is that demonstrated in my life? And that word, live, some of your translations, if you opened your Bible, if you got there quick, it might have said that we walk by faith and not by sight. And the reason why that's there is because the word that is used there in the Greek really grabs those two ideas. And to live by faith doesn't mean to just exist and have a profession of faith. It means that the activity of your life is aligned with faith being expressed in the way that you live. That word that's translated live, walk, something there, really has to do with the idea of everywhere your movement carries you. The activity of your life, the movement, the action, the transit, that in your coming and going, that you would be a person who demonstrates great faith, that you would be a man of faith, that you would be a woman of faith in the way that you steward the daily living of your life. And one of the reasons why this can be difficult for us, right? You may be in a season right now where you don't feel like you are a man of great faith or a woman of great faith. You may be wrestling with your faith. You may be wondering, how am I supposed to decide or act or respond in faith? And part of the reason why that can be difficult for us is because there's two things that are true about you and about me. Number one is I can act without faith. I can go about the daily decision-making of my life. I can plan for the future. I can make all manner of motion and activity. I can set value and priority. I can do all of that without faith. And at the same time, this is also true, we can profess great faith and have a deep faith of conviction in us and not actually act on it at all. And so because those two things are true simultaneously, we tend to gravitate towards one extreme or the other, but in the middle is to live a life where we have a deep conviction within us that is then lived out in the activity of our life. There's an alignment that is needed in our inner man and in our outer expression of person so that those two things come together and our faith is put into action. Living by faith, walking by faith, means that the activity of my life becomes something that is motivated by my faith and deep conviction that I have in who the Lord is and what He does in my life. And last week we talked about hope, if you remember that, if you were with us, and we talked about hope is something that really rises on us, not in activity, but in waiting. A number of verses that we looked at last week says that I wait in hope of the Lord, or I wait in the hope of the Lord, that it's in that waiting that we cultivate a deep conviction of hoping in the Lord, but that hope is something that gives rise to a motivated faith that now is put into action. As hope rises in us, it mobilizes our faith, and we move in response to that. And so that's really the struggle that we have. Our struggle is that we can act without faith, and I can profess faith without acting on it. And so how do we draw those things together and live by faith? That's going to be the question that we answer this morning in a couple simple ways. If you got your Bible, I want to invite you to go ahead and get it out, raise it up. If you got your smartphone or your tablet, go ahead and open up your Bible app. Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you would speak to us through your word. Lord, give us soft hearts to receive and a willing heart to respond. That this week, that we would be men and women who live by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen. So since you got your Bible already, you can go ahead and open up to Genesis chapter 12. That's where we're going to start. It'd be kind of a main focus of our attention this morning. And the reason why is because of who that chapter is focused on and the incident that it's recording. This is really the first place in Scripture that you are formally introduced to Abram, who becomes Abraham. If you've grown up in the church, maybe you've heard that name before, but it's through his descendants that the nation of Israel comes into being, and it's through that we ultimately get to Christ and the Messiah. And so this initial interaction between God and Abram, this is really, really important, and it lays out some framework about how you and I can go about living our lives by faith. In fact, later on in Scripture, the Apostle Paul refers to Abram in Romans chapter 4 as the father of faith, as really the first one who really demonstrates a fullness of faith in the Lord, in that sense of being a type that we could emulate and walk in the same steps of. And so Abram is really the example of what it means to be a man of faith, what it means to be a woman of faith, to be a person of faith. He demonstrates that. And so we're going to look at this interaction here. And if you've got a Bible that has headings in it, it might say something along these lines. It might say the call of Abram or the calling of Abram. And there's a conversation here between him and the Lord, and it begins in verse 1. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and curse, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him." So again, later on in Scripture, Abraham is commended for his faith. In fact, multiple times through the narrative in Genesis, he's identified as a man of great faith. When you get to the book of Hebrews, he is written into that chapter 11 that I would refer to as the hall of faith, and a number of incidents in his life are used there as examples of what it looks like to walk in great faith. And this is the first along all of those stories. This is the first among all of those parts of the narrative. And in it, you're going to see two indicators of what living a life of faith looks like. And they're really, really simple. And I don't want to oversimplify the idea of living by faith, because certainly there are a number of complexities of life that come at us from all directions. But this simple perspective that we see in Genesis chapter 12 is very helpful for you and I if we want to take any steps this week that begin to move us in that direction, to be a man of faith, a woman of faith, that puts it into the activity of their lives. And if you're a note taker, if you're an underliner, I want to encourage you to highlight this phrase. In verse 1, it says, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land," and this is important, "to the land I will show you." To the land I will show you. See, when God spoke to Abram about the design for his life, when he spoke to him about the plans and purposes of future fruitfulness, God didn't say, "I will tell you." He said, "I will show you." And then as he outlines a number of promises, and there's several other ones that Abram is the recipient of, but "I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And all peoples of all time will be blessed through you." There's so many rich and theologically deep statements of promise that are outlined in this passage that are fleshed out through Scripture that we don't have time to look at today. But considering all of that stuff, Abram's response is he went. And what you see in this exchange here is you see two things that are indicators of what it means to live a life of walking by faith or living by faith. Number one is it's an invitation from the Lord. God said, "I will show you." See, it's really interesting. If you want to unpack the promise that Abram had, let's look at what he started with. God speaks to him and says, "I want you to leave the place that you call home, all the people and context you're familiar with, and your very family, pack up your immediate household and your belongings, and I'm going to take you to an undisclosed location that someday in the future is going to be really awesome for your descendants." Do you understand the ambiguity of the statement of promise here? It's you're going to leave everything and you're going to go into an unknown future, but trust me, it's going to be good. And God didn't tell him very much about it. He just said, "I'm going to take you to a land that ultimately is going to be for your blessing and for the blessing of all others." But it's nondescript. There's no real details there. Have you ever felt like God left out some of the details in the direction of your life? Have you ever been kind of moving forward and felt like, "Man, like I just, like throw me a bone here, like left or right. Like I need something to hold on to." There are so many places in life where we feel like we don't have enough information. Join the club. Okay, Abram literally had nothing other than God saying, "Hey, come on, this is going to be awesome." But God didn't say, "I'm going to tell you about it." And this is so important. He said, "I will show you." Because the invitation of God to move into the things of his plans and purposes for your life is not an invitation for him to come to you and tell you some whispered secret that then you go and create a life for yourself. It's not something that somehow gives you an epiphany type of moment and you go out and now all of a sudden everything is the way that you wanted it to be. The invitation is always, hey, come with me. I'll go with you. Let me show you. It's an invitation to relationship. When we are called to live by faith and not by sight, it's not to just live by blind faith. It's not to be reckless or foolish in the way that we make decisions. It's not just to flip a coin and chance it and we're just going to go for it. That ultimately, living by faith starts with responding to the invitation of God to live alongside him. It's to go with him. I will show you. And you see Abram's response, he went. Now, that's not always my response, and maybe not yours. My response is, a little more information, please. Hey, maybe I should pray on this a little bit longer until I get a little bit more clarity. But oftentimes, God has spoken enough for us to start moving, and we're just reluctant to move forward. Living by faith means that we don't move forward with the certainty of knowing how everything is going to turn out, but we move forward with the certainty of knowing who has invited us to take steps with him. And so living by faith, it's not simply taking blind steps. It's not just kind of winging it or going for it. It is first an intent upon following, In Psalm chapter 23, many of you will be familiar with this passage of Scripture, but in Psalm chapter 23, David uses the metaphor of a shepherd for the way that the Lord relates to you and I, the way that the Lord moves in our life. And many of you could quote this. Reading from Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now, some of you may have already memorized this, and you memorized it in New King James or a different version, so you already want to raise your hand and say, "Pastor, you got it wrong. That's not the right words. Just stay with me." Okay? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me." Think about that. "He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness." And even as you go through the rest of the psalm, when you get to the valley of the shadow of death, the place that you and I feel like we have been the most abandoned, mostly because it's dark and we don't see God, and so we assume that maybe he's not present, in that place, it says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because your rod and your staff," what? "Comfort me." God, you are present with me in this. You're moving before me. You're walking me through this. Psalm 23 is all about the presence of the good shepherd through whatever you are dealing with in life that moves you into the fullness of being restored in him. It's the same idea. It's living by faith. And it's responding to an invitation to follow the Lord as he leads the way, not simply tells you the way. And most of us, we want to be told. We want to say a prayer, we want God to answer it the way that we're expecting it, and then we just want to get on with our lives, and we want to go for it. We want to make something out of it. Very often, we're not looking for him to lead or to guide us. We just want, give me some marching orders, just give me a to-do list, give me some direction, and I'll function from that point there. But living by faith and not by sight is not to live in your own strength to your own ends just because God gave you a compass heading. To live by faith and not by sight is to live alongside God as he leads and directs and guides you through life. It's the same reason why when Jesus called his disciples, you would be familiar, many of you, with this statement. He said, "Come and what? Follow me. Come and follow me. Come and follow me." And he was constantly calling people out of their old way of life or out of their old way of thinking or out of their old way of living and inviting them into a new way of doing all of those things, but not just as a doorway that sends them on their way. It was to journey alongside him and to go with him. I don't know if you've ever been to like a department store that had really good customer service, or maybe you've been in the hospitality industry and you know the difference between like a Hilton and like a Motel 6. I mean, they're different. I'm just going to let you know. But it's not just in the accommodations. It's not just in kind of the environment. The way that you're treated, the way that the service is rendered is very, very different. And if you've been to a place where service has been good, what you would find is that if you had a need, the person doesn't tell you how to get your need met, they meet it for you. right? Maybe you've been in a department store and you've been looking for a specific item or for a specific place. And somebody would say, hey, do you need something? Right? And what's our first response? We never need anything, do we? Especially guys, like, no, I know exactly what I'm looking for. I did that the other day, literally in a town here, or not in a town here, in a store here. This is the town that we're in. But the other day I went in, I was looking for a specific item, and somebody asked me, hey, do you know what you're looking for? And I said, well, I'm looking for this item. Could you tell me where it is? And she said, well, I can show you. And I was like, no, just let me know. And so she started to give me directions. Guess what part of the directions I heard? Just the first sentence. If you go to the back, and I was like, it's in the back. Got it. This was a big place, so the back was not actually that helpful. I realized I didn't hear the rest of the instructions, but I wasn't going to ask for them, and I said, thanks, I think I've got it. Guess what? Didn't get it. About 12 minutes later, I circled back to the front and found the same lady, and I said, I really wasn't listening. Can you just show me? Right? So I had the slice of humble pie, and she walked me back to find the item that I was looking for. But a lot of times when it comes to the direction of the Lord in our life, we just want Him to tell us where to go, and then we want to get on with it. God's not interested in doing that because He cares for you, and the relationship's important. And in stores or in hospitality industries where you are important, you are treated better. You are treated different. And I've watched employees at places that are high-end who have dropped the task that they're doing in order to walk somebody to a place that they needed to go in an area that didn't even relate to their job description, because the relationship is more important than the task, and they'll go back. And they're not going to be reprimanded or written up. The opposite would be true, because the relationship is so important. And God is interested in inviting you to go with Him to the things that are the desires of your heart. He's not really that interested in just telling you how you can get to the things of God on your own, because guess what? You can't. And honestly, if He gave you too much detail, you'd mess it up. See, one of the things that's interesting to me about Abraham is that if you read, starting in Genesis chapter 12, you could do that this week. You could read through the chapters of Abraham's life. There are places where, as the father of faith, he demonstrated exactly what it looks like to be a man of faith. Oh man, just stories where he was so heroic in his faith that something rises up in you and says, I want to be like that. But you know what? There are several places in his story where you're like, what are you thinking? Where you're reading along and you can literally see the damage that's being done and the problem on the horizon. And in your heart, you want to say, Abraham, no! Like, no, like, you've got to turn back. But you know the rest of the story, and he doesn't. And if you look at those places closely, what you'll find is he knew a little bit too much about the promise of God for that season of his life, and he decided to help with his own strength. He decided to figure out for God how this was supposed to work, because clearly this promise that was going to require a miracle couldn't actually require a miracle. It probably just requires me being a little bit helpful. And you'll see that there were two or three times in Abraham's life where he made huge mistakes. And it was when he took his eyes off of having faith in God and put all of his faith in the promise. And that sounds wrong. It sounds like a wrong thing to say. Because if I said, can you put your faith in God's promises? The answer is yes. But not because it's a promise. It's because it's God's promise. And it's something that's really important to recognize, that the object of Abram's faith, the object of Abraham's faith, when he was getting it right, was never the promise. It was the one who made the promise. It wasn't the promise. It was the promise maker. It was always the Lord at the center of it. And there were times where he dropped his eyes from that and had more faith in the promise and then more faith in himself making that promise come to pass, and that caused all the problems. And he stopped living by faith in those moments, and he lived by sight. What I see, what I can understand, and how I can see helping God's promise come to pass in my life. And you and I do that frequently, because we're prone to misalign ourselves. And so we need these reminders here. God is less concerned with telling you and more concerned with showing you. He's less concerned with giving you guidance for your life. He's not Jiminy Cricket as your conscience being your guide. He wants to literally be Emmanuel, God with us. He wants to be with you and walk alongside you into the things that he has for your life. And very often, we are missing that component. So how do we do that? How do we make sure that's how we're walking? Like if you right now, if the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart and you're being challenged this week to begin to live life as a man of faith, to begin to live life as a woman of faith, what are some things that we can actually do? Because there is a role for us to act. Remember, hope is something that we wait in. Faith is something that we move in. Hope is something that we wait in. In that season of waiting, our hope rises and we trust God to be doing in the space that we aren't to be active, but then that hope gives birth to a faith that requires action, requires movement. It's the whole base of the word that we saw at the beginning. So how do we live or walk by faith? We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 for just a moment. And when you get to this chapter, I've already touched on it once or twice. I call it the Hall of Faith, kind of like the Hall of Fame for men and women of faith would be a good place, but that's too long of a title, right? So Hall of Faith. But in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews begins with faith being sure of what we hope for and certain, or the evidence of what we don't see. We talked a little bit about that last week and the connection between hope and faith, and so you could review that on your own. But from there, he moves on to begin to talk about how we respond in faith, how we live by faith, and celebrates a number of men and women in the Old Testament who did that very well and demonstrated it in a dramatic way. And as he turns his attention kind of chronologically through the Old Testament, he gets to verse 8 and begins to talk about Abram. And let's look at this verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." So we read Genesis chapter 12, the little bit of the exchange with the Lord. You can read the rest of how Abram actually put that into motion in his life in the rest of that chapter. But the writer of Hebrews back casts to that and tells us this about what it looks like to live or to walk by faith. And there's three things that are happening in this, two that we can act on. And they revolve around these two words. One is called. Now, I read the NIV. You may have a little bit of a different version. But by faith, Abraham, when called to go, maybe you circle that, maybe you highlight that, maybe you make a notation of that, put it in your back pocket for later, obeyed and went. Abraham was called to go, and he obeyed and went. And there's three things. I put up four. There's three. That's what I meant. There's three things here that are part of this process. Number one is that Abram was able to recognize when the Lord was speaking to him. Number two, he was willing to receive what was spoken to him. And then number three, he was willing to respond to what was spoken to him. And I want to touch on those really quick before I get to the two things that we can act on, because it's possible for you to have one of those and the other things missing. See, what I found in my life, and maybe you've experienced this before, is there's times where I feel as if God's voice is hard to recognize, where I don't feel like he's speaking to me or he's not getting through. And some of those frustrations are very real. So we don't have time to unpack today about how to really hear discernibly from the Lord. It's something that you will hear over the next year as part of the rhythms of our church. And we're actually going to have a class on how to hear from the Lord in the spring if that's something that really is stirring in you. But there are times where we feel as if, is that me? Is that just what I want? How do I discern the Lord's voice? But there's also this at work in us at times as well, where we've heard very clearly from the Lord, and we didn't like what we heard. And there's times where he's spoken clearly, and we have recognized his voice, but we will play the game as if he hasn't answered, he hasn't spoken, God is silent, I don't hear him, because what we really want is we want to hear something different. And I've seen that tendency in my own life, and in 20 years of ministry, I've walked people through that, where they've made counseling appointments with me, and they've wanted my insight and advice on direction and decisions for their life, and what I discover is they have already heard very clearly from the Lord. They just don't want to do that. They're hoping pastor says something different, so they've got an out. See, I think that there are, more often than not, I think we recognize the Lord's voice. We just don't like what he says. In fact, Jesus makes it really simple. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And they won't actually follow the voice of another. God doesn't hide himself. He doesn't wrap himself in a cloak of ambiguity. He's not somehow trying to keep himself from you. He wants to invite you. He says, come and follow. He's the good shepherd. He's present. Come, I will show you. But we have to respond. See, we have to recognize his voice, but then we have to receive actually what he's saying. And both of those two things have to do with the condition of your heart. And then the third has to do more with the condition of your will, and that's to respond. So what you see with Abram is he recognized the Lord's voice, and he received the Lord's promise, and then he responded in accordance to it. And ultimately, if you look at that idea of called to go and obey and went, here's the two things that you and I can actually focus on starting today for this upcoming week that could help us move more into living by faith and not by sight. And the first one is entertaining this question, am I willing to listen? See, he was called. God spoke. And he recognized and received. He listened to what the Lord had to say. And can I tell you that here's how you answer that question. One is can you affirm that that's a desire of your heart? And I can tell you that, two, the way that you will go about actually doing that in your life is you have to have a soft heart towards the Lord. Many of us would have a desire to hear from God, but we have a hard heart to receive anything from him. And we find ourselves really at odds in our person. And you can see that as Jesus talked to the Pharisees and as Jesus unpacked kind of his displeasure against a lot of spiritual people during his time in ministry, one of the weightier accusations he would give towards people is he would say, you do not see because you are blind, you do not hear because your ears are closed. And he would use that as a metaphor for them to understand that they had hardened their hearts towards the truth of God's kingdom. And so a soft heart is required for you and I to listen well. But we also have to have a willing heart to respond in obedience. And it can seem like an oversimplification this morning to come in and to hear a message that says, hey, if you want to live by faith and not by sight, then you need to have a soft heart. I mean, it seems almost overly simple, but honestly, if we could soften our hearts towards the things of the Lord, and we could listen when he speaks and respond in obedience, we begin to put into pattern in our lives walking by faith. Not blind faith, not just kind of flippant reaction to the world around us, but a faith that has a deep conviction because we have heard and responded to the truth of who God is. And ultimately, my faith isn't even in what he said, it is in him. Knowing that it's in him, that the validation of everything that he speaks finds its assurance. He who promises is faithful. Because he's faithful, and I put my faith in him, then I can also put my faith in his promises coming to pass. Not because it was promised. We've all had somebody promise something to us that did not happen. And it wasn't because we didn't have enough faith in the promise. It was because the one who made the promise was not faithful to it. And so we're called to put our faith in a God who is always faithful. And then the promise is assured because of him and because of his character. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. We're going to consider a couple of things. Worship team, if you would come back forward. We're going to take a couple minutes, get into that part. But how do we live by faith? How do we walk by faith? Number one is we listen. Number two, we obey. Number one, we listen. Number two, we obey. So even our obedience to the Lord isn't a blind obedience, but it's an obedience that's informed by having heard him speak in our lives. In Isaiah chapter 30, God says something really interesting to his people, and he's speaking to the nation of Israel through the prophet of Isaiah, and it's not at a good time during their history as a people. They've been walking in willful and purposeful rebellion to the things of God, and there was going to be consequence that comes as a result of that, because you sow what you reap. And so when you sow in wickedness, there's a fruit that is produced as a result of that. And so they're about to deal with the full weight of consequence of having walked out of relationship with the Lord. And in the middle of kind of giving them understanding of what that was going to look like and some of the hardships that they were going through, he constantly reminded them that it was not going to be a fatal blow to the nation, that they weren't all going to be lost, that there was always going to be a remnant and redemption, that God was always going to look about bringing about a redeemingness to the people. And in the middle of that, he talks about the way that his presence was going to be enjoyed amongst his people once again. That as they had walked out of relationship and had walked in effectiveness out of the presence of God, that his presence was going to come once again, and it was going to be tangible, and he was going to be with them. He would be Emmanuel, God with us, in the middle of their stuff. And he says these words to his people in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. When it comes to them being in kind of this place of disillusionment and not really knowing what to do and how to respond, and about how he would come alongside them and walk them through that season. And it says this, it says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in. And there's some parts of that verse that are corrective, saying that when they were going to choose to kind of go their own way, that the Lord would correct them and keep them on track. But ultimately what you have in that verse is a promise from God that he would be present with them and he would speak clearly for them to recognize. And that promise holds true for you and I, that the Lord has promised to be with you and to speak in a way that you would recognize his voice. And you might be in a position today where you're saying, you know what, I don't believe that. Like I've prayed and it seems like I haven't been heard or answered, or I've really wrestled with some direction. You know, there's a reality of seasons like that. And the season that you might be in might not be a season to take a step of faith. You might be in the waiting season we talked about last week, where you have to wait and let hope rise up in you. Because as hope rises in you, it gives motivation to a faith that is put into action. And so maybe you are in a hopeless place and hope needs to rise, but you may also be in a place where the Lord has spoken and now it is time for you to take a step of faith. And not to pretend like you haven't heard him because you want a different answer, but that you've recognized and now it's time to receive that word and to step in activity to it. And both of those require a softening of our heart. You know, when I was at the store earlier this week, and I just asked for a quick direction, and yeah, I've got it. I didn't have it. And I was tempted to do what most of us do when that happens. We just leave the store and say, well, they didn't have it when we get home. Because your heart has to be softened in humility to go back and say, I didn't get it. I wasn't listening. I do need help. Will you show me this time? See, that's what a soft heart looks like. How would your life look this week if you lived by faith, if you softened your heart and you took time to listen? You softened your heart and had a will to walk in obedience. What would it look like to allow the Good Shepherd to come alongside you and lead you, even through times of difficulty? What would it look like for you to put your faith back in the one who has made the promise and not just hope, but put your faith in the promise itself? Lord, we acknowledge that very often in our lives we're out of alignment. We can quote a verse that says to walk by faith and not by sight. It's easier to do that than to actually walk it out. Lord, align our hearts today with what we would profess as our faith. bring us to a place of willing dependence on you. Lord, soften our hearts that we would hear from you and that we would receive even hard word, even hard correction. And Lord, give us a willingness to respond in obedience. Sometimes the hardest step of faith for me to take is the step of obedience. Humble us before you and before others. Give us willing hearts that when you say, I will show you, that we would be like Abram and we would go. Because our faith is in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A couple action steps for you this week. If you got a smartphone or tablet, snap a picture. First one is you need to kind of discern the moment that you're in. Are you in a place where hope is needing to be raised in you in a season of waiting? Or are you at the place where that hope needs to give birth to a step of faith? So begin to discern that out. Number two, pray for a heart that listens and a will that obeys. You can even make it simple. Lord, soften my heart this week. Number three, respond by taking a step of faith if the Lord's leading you in that by His Spirit.